Straight Talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Science of Kabbalah with your hosts, Rabbi Yitzhak Michelson and William Hall, here on Israel News Talk Radio.
And we're back with another Science of Kabbalah here on Israel News Talk Radio. This is Rabbi Yitzhak.
And William Hall. How are you today, sir?
I'm trying to stay cool.
It made me think of a situation I had last year at a job site. I was trying to stay cool in a different manner.
Well, that too.
Right.
I know it's pretty hot in Texas right now too, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's actually cooler this week than it was last week. And ironically enough, when we were in Oklahoma 2 weeks ago, I experienced in Oklahoma the hottest day that I've ever experienced in 12 years.
Wow.
I mean, it was brutal. The humidity was horrible. It was just constant sweat. Didn't even do any good to wipe your face because it just kept pouring off. And it just sucked the life right out of you. It was wild. And it was in Oklahoma, not Texas. Texas is supposed to be known for the heat, but whew.
Well, thank God we don't have a lot of humidity in Israel, but I'm always reminded. I used to visit Las Vegas years ago when I lived in the U.S., and people would say, oh, it's different. It's dry heat. And I'd say, so is my oven, but I don't hang out in that.
Yeah.
So, but I get you with the cool thing because I'm talking literally. I'm sitting here and it's kind of warm and I have the mazgan, the air conditioner on. But I experienced what you're talking about yesterday. I think it was even hotter here in Israel yesterday, and we went to go pick up our car, thank God. So hot, walking from the bus to the place, and then they didn't have air conditioning because they were working on the place. And so I had to try and keep my cool in two ways yesterday, for sure.
Wow. No kidding, right?
Yeah.
Which kind of, in a way, trickles off onto your title for today's show.
My title?
As you were telling me about it, the skeletons in the closet thing, I was thinking, oh boy, this is going to get deep.
You know, it's kind of a humorous thing, but we're in the 3 weeks and we're coming into the 9 days coming up to where we're mourning the destruction of both temples. And so there's kind of this dichotomy that works. It's like we have these times of joy. I got a car. This is a joyful time, and yet it's supposed to be a time of diminished joy. And this idea of skeletons, the closet, came up as a result of some of the teachings I've been learning from Rabbi Nachman and Likutei Maharan and just all of these different things coming around. But you're going to have to stick with us because we're going to have to go to a break. And when we come back, we're going to talk more about that, skeletons in the closet, and then the ninth of Av, and how we deal with diminished joy and joy all at the same time. So stay with us. We'll be right back here on the Science of Kabbalah on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com.
Always challenging the status quo. Hello, I'm Rod Bryant on Beyond the Matrix here at IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. I want to encourage you to listen each week, every Wednesday at the same time, for an amazing show that will challenge you, inform you, and inspire. News, views, and wisdom for the nations. Here on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. Don't forget, Beyond the Matrix every week, Wednesday, here on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com.
Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Did you know this psalm and many others were composed by a Jewish shepherd and musician who later became a king? Would you like to know some of the inner meanings of psalms to help you connect with God and strengthen your soul? An exciting and easy-to-read book is now available, which will help you do just that. Software for the Soul, Psalms for Everyone, available on Kindle, Audible, and Amazon.com. Software for the Soul.
Modesty at the beach? It isn't just about body image. It's about feeling good. Modest swimsuits, so we don't get burned by the sun.
So we won't get ogled by strangers.
So we'll feel free to express ourselves without the need to expose ourselves.
Let Marcy Modest help you to cover up what you want, how you want.
Made in Israel.
Visit MarcyModest.com. That's M-A-R-S-E-A Modest.com.
And get a 10% discount on your first purchase.
Two new shows on Israel News Talk Radio. The return of the Jewish people to the land of Israel was prophesied in the Bible thousands of years ago and is coming true today. Shalom. Join me, Josh Wander, on Israel Unplugged. Listen in as we delve into the spiritual and physical aspects of the Jewish return to Zion. We'll discuss the biblically mandated, historic, and of course practical understandings of this incredible transition from exile to redemption. That's Israel Unplugged, every Monday on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com.
How did a nice Jewish girl from Delaware end up living in Israel? Shalom, I'm Natalie Sapinski. Join me on my show, Returning Home. Meet different people who have moved to Israel. Hear their personal stories, their highs, their lows, and everything in between. Each week, we talk to experts on immigration and the process of moving to Israel. Listen to Returning Home every Thursday, only on Israel News Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Science of Kabbalah with Rabbi Yitzchak Michelson and William Hall here on Israel News Talk Radio.
Welcome back to the Science of Kabbalah here on Israel News Talk Radio. Interesting topics for today. Anytime you have a catchy title like Skeletons in Your Closet, it just instantly just kind of makes me go, I wonder what's on his mind today. And so, I wish people could listen into our pre-recording conversations we have, because it's the same stuff, but it's not the same stuff. And it's like, so it's really cool. I like when you kind of branch off of this topic. You know, I mean, I think it was you who actually mentioned to me one time, Rob, about I'm almost certain it was maybe 4 weeks ago. I have to look at my notes, but you had mentioned how the all the mitzvot are connected to limbs or parts of our bodies, mm-hmm. and then when you tied in Skeletons in Your Closet, my mind just went nuts. I was like, okay, this guy needs to start talking like now.
All right, so I'll tell you where it came up for me. Okay, so here we are, like I said, we're in the 3 weeks. We come into the 17th of Tammuz, and we have 3 weeks from the 17th of Tammuz until the 9th of Av. The 3 weeks are considered a time of great mourning. Terrible things happened to the Jewish people during this time. Certainly on the 9th of Av, we know that both temples were destroyed. And so it's this time, like I said, of diminished joy. But then there's another aspect to this, and that's the fact that we're coming into the Shabbat that comes up right after the Rosh Chodesh Av, because this show airs Tuesday at 5 p.m. Israel time, and Tuesday at sundown starts Rosh Chodesh Av, which begins the 9-day period. And there's a whole different set of rules and regulations that people follow during the 9 days. There are things like people don't eat meat or drink wine during the 9 days except on Shabbat, because Shabbat, we have Oneg Shabbat and this idea of having joy on Shabbat. So that's the only time during the 9 days. And then you have this Shabbat. We have many Shabbatot that are called by specific names. This Shabbat is called Shabbat Chazon. Chazon has to do with vision. And it is the Haftorah that's read is from Isaiah chapter 1, starting at verse 1, which starts with the word Chazon. It's talking where Isaiah has this vision from Hashem. And it's a vision that then speaks about rebuking Bnei Yisrael, the Hebrews, the Jewish people, for their rebellion against Hashem. Now, we also have that we're coming into, on that Shabbat, we read from Devarim, from the book of Devarim, which means words. It can also mean things in modern Hebrew, but it means words. And it's said that, we know in English it's Deuteronomy, but it's said that really the original name in Hebrew would have been Mishnah Torah, which is a repetition of the Torah. Because we see in Devarim that Moshe is now coming to the people and he's repeating all the rules and regulations and all the Torah that was given by Hashem to the people at Har Sinai. He's repeating it again and reminding them that they're getting ready to enter into the land and they have all of these rules and regulations that they have to follow. But first, he makes a distinction between the generation before them, meaning their parents and grandparents, that generation that rebelled against Hashem and had to wander in Bamidbar in the desert for 40 years and then were not able to enter into the land. And he's making the distinction now with the younger generation now that's camped in the plains of Moab and about to enter the land of Canaan.
You know, they, the whole idea of them being in the wilderness for 40 years, you know, and they're, upon leaving the wilderness, you know, they're faced with this thing where now, you know, instead of having the food provided for them and all this light and cool and, you know, having their clothes constantly cleansed by the, you know, by the cloud, all these blessings that they had in the wilderness, I think they got so complacently used to it that going into a better place, I could see how there would be a connection with diminished joy, because I've heard some midrashim on how many of them didn't want to leave the wilderness because it was kind of like they didn't want to leave Egypt when they left. Right. And so I guess I could see a connection of why diminished joy would come right at this area of Devarim. I mean, you're coming into going into your dad's house, and the first thing he does is like, hey, you did good with this, 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 and this, but listen, you can't do this, 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 and this. And all of a sudden, it's like a real somber moment, a real, you know, keep your hands to yourself, don't be picking up stuff off the shelves, you know, all those rules that are so important. It could definitely put you in a really awakening spot to where, you know, if you were in a super highlighted, joyful mode, it'll kind of put you back in focus, I guess you could say. So it kind of makes sense, I guess, that it would be the diminishing joy part.
Sure. I mean, look, it's a big difference between having everything done for you and then having to go out on your own. I mean, I hadn't thought about it, but since you brought it up, I mean, look, you could, if you wanted to use a modern example of this, I mean, many, all of us grow up in our, for the most part, you know, if we, whether you had a single parent or whether you had both parents, you grew up with somebody that was taking care of you up until a point. And it doesn't matter if some of us went to college, some went to college locally, some went to college away, but eventually you have to move out of your parents' home and eventually you're on your own. And certainly it's a lot different when you have to start doing the laundry yourself for yourself. You know, mom's not doing your laundry and folding your laundry and leaving it on your bed anymore. You know, I remember I had a friend growing up, and I can remember when he would come home from college, he would get ready to go back. We lived in New York and he was going to school in Boston, and he would like open up the fridge and the freezer and he'd start stuffing stuff in his backpack and everything else. It's like, you know, I mean, he was so used to having his mother take care of him that the idea that even though he was going back to school, and his family was well-to-do. It wasn't like they couldn't afford to give him money to buy food, but he was so used to that he was stuffing things. And of course, he couldn't wait to get home to have his mother, you know, he'd come home with this big sack of laundry. There was ways to do laundry at school, but he was so used to his mom taking care of him.
Yeah.
So it's sort of that same thing. And you could understand that concept of now having to be on their own. And in a way, this is what was happening to them. They had to go into the land and they were being told, now, guess what? You know, they had the ability. We've talked about this many times on the show. They really had the ability to go into Canaan and turn that land into Gan Eden, to not a literal Garden of Eden, but in a sense, everything that we look at in the Torah goes back to Gan Eden, the Garden of Eden, where Hashem was able to walk with man in the cool of the day. It was God's desire from the very beginning to have that kind of relationship with man. And there's an attempt over and over and over again. We see that there's an attempt made to give the people the opportunity to do that, to repair the world in a way, to repair Canaan, and to come into the land and return it to a time where Hashem could once again dwell amongst the people. So part of that was different now. They were no longer being taken care of, like you said, and now they had to go into the land. So we see all these speeches now that Moshe Rabbeinu comes forth in Devarim, where he starts giving them, you know, even from the beginning, these are the words that Moshe addressed to all Israel in Deuteronomy 1:1. And then it's interesting because he starts off that way, and then it ends in Deuteronomy 28:69, ends with these are the terms or these are the words of the covenant which Hashem commanded Moshe to conclude with the Israelites in the land of Moab, in addition to the covenant he made with them at Horeb, talking about the covenant that was made at Har Sinai. So it starts off with these words and it ends with words. And this week's reading in Parsha Devarim, really, it comprises this whole introductory speech which presents the two sides of the story, like I said, the history of the parents' generation that died in the wilderness that we see in chapter 1, starting in verse 6 through 46, and in the second generation in chapter 2, verse 1 through chapter 3, verse 29. And we see both sides of that story. And then we see something very interesting that's said. What's said is, in connection to what we're talking about, this diminished joy, in chapter 1, verse 46, through chapter 2, verse 1, it says, basically, you've remained at this place long enough. It's time to move on. In other words, thus, after you had remained at Kadesh all that long time, and you skirted the hill country of Seir a long time, then they're at this mountain, and Hashem basically says, you know what? Enough. It's time to get up. It's time to move. No more miracles. No more taking care of you. No more of the things that you talked about. The cloud taking care of you and all this food. Now you're going to have to work the land, and you're going to have to take care of yourself. It's not that Hashem takes his hand off of them completely, but there is something to be said for what we're talking about. So that's what I wanted to do. I just wanted to set it up in this first segment to kind of talk about Devarim and how this is all set up. And hopefully when we come back from the break, what we'll be able to do is tie this together, kind of see how this relates to the different groups of people that we talked about, this idea of not staying at the mountain for so long and now moving into the land, and then, of course, tying it into what we're talking about, where we're in the 3 weeks and we're coming into Rosh Chodesh Av and into these 9 days and this time of diminished joy and some of the other things. There's some very significant things that take place also during this time, during these 9 days leading up to the ninth of Av. So we're going to have to go to a quick break. When we come back from the break, God willing, we're going to tie all these things together for you. So stay with us. We'll be right back here on The Science of Kabbalah on Israel News Talk Radio.
Shalom, everybody. Making a difference often takes just one moment and one person at a time. I am Orly Benny Davis, your show host on Israel News Talk Radio from Jerusalem with love. You'll be hearing people talking about politics, religion, social issues, and making a better tomorrow. Join me, Orly Benny Davis, for God and Country from Jerusalem with love.
Wednesdays on Israel News Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Science of Kabbalah with Rabbi Yitzchak Michelson and William Hall here on Israel News Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Science of Kabbalah here on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. Rabbi Yitzchak here, along with my amazing co-host, William Hall. Before the break, I was talking about the 9 days, the 3 weeks, this idea of diminished joy, and seeing whether or not we were going to be able to tie these things together. And I mentioned that there were other significant things that take place during this time. One of them specifically is on what we call Hey Av, the fifth of Av, which will be on Sunday, is the Halula, or the Yahrzeit of the Ari HaKadosh, or the Arizal, the Rabbi Yitzhak Luria Ashkenazi. Now, I live literally, if you walk down the little alley from my house, about 100 meters, there's Keren HaYesod. I walk across the street, and I can literally see the burial place of the Ari HaKadosh from above my street. Now, typically, there would be thousands of people that come in, and it probably will be a lot of people that come into Tzfat for that. unfortunately, with coronavirus, they're actually shutting down the cemetery. And they're saying that they're not going to allow anybody to come because usually there'll be thousands of people. I mean, my street, you won't even be able to drive down my street or park. It'll just be packed here. They'll even have people up at the top of the stairs down the street from me selling things during this time. It's like a crazy time. The Ari was, I mean, you know, like Rabbi Nachman, who we're going to talk about shortly as well, they were both big tzaddikim, and both of them died at a very early age. Both the Ari was 38 and Rabbi Nachman were both 38 when they died. They were exactly the same age when both of them passed. Which is interesting. And I also said that this coming up is the Shabbat Chazon, the Shabbat of vision. When you think about Shabbat, each week when we celebrate and we observe Shabbat, we recognize it as the source for all divine blessings of the week that will follow. Because when you think about it, Shabbat really affects each day of our lives. Before each Shabbat, it's important to really think about, to sit down and review what events happened in the last week, and then kind of set our expectations for the coming week. And that really relates to whether things, whether we have major events going on or even minor developments that are going on in our life. And then, of course, like I said, we have the Shabbat between Rosh Chodesh Av and the ninth of Av, which is our annual mourning period for the destruction of the temple. And like I said, we read Isaiah 1:1 through 1:27 is the Haftarah, is the portion from the prophet, from Yeshayahu, from Isaiah, which starts off Chazon, the first word. Chazon, Yeshayahu ben Amoz, Asher Chaza al Yehuda v'Yushalayim, Bimei Aziyahu Yotam Achaz, Yishchiyahu Malchei Yehuda. It's this idea that Isaiah has this vision. He's the son of Amoz, it says, and he sees things related to Yehuda and Yerushalayim in the days of, it says, Uziyahu, Yotam, Achaz, Yishchiyahu, Chizkiyahu, all of these kings of Yehuda that reigned at that time. Now back to the Ari HaKadosh for a second. So one of the people that I like to read his teachings is Rabbi Yitzhak Ginsburg. A lot of people follow Rav Ginsburg. And he explains that the anniversary of the passing of the Arizal on the 5th of Av is also during the mourning period, he says. And the reason is, and he says, not only that, but it's the exact midpoint of the 9 days of the most severe mourning. And then he brings in the idea that the teachings of the Arizal prepare the world for the redemption. And we know that everybody, especially during this time with everything that's going on with COVID-19, all these months, and we're seeing spikes again and things are going up and people are starting to freak out and there's closings going on and lockdowns and there's craziness going on in America that we've been talking about for months. And now even more craziness with the anarchists and the statue deal and riots and defunding police. People are crying out for Ge'ulah. People are crying out for redemption. So Rabbi Ginsburg goes on and he says, on the anniversary of the passing of a tzaddik, all of his life's accomplishments are once again revealed in the world, but on a higher level, on a deeper level, as they are united with all that was accomplished since then as a result of all of his good works. And that this revelation is the most potent instrument in our hands to overcome the mourning and to join in bringing the redemption. This is what I'm talking about when we talk about the distinction or a dichotomy between this idea of diminished joy and at the same time being joyful, because we want to see this revelation. We want to see the redemption. We want to see Ge'ulah, and yet we're in this period of intense mourning in the 9 days for the destruction of the temple. we're starting to see such craziness going on in the world that you almost kind of feel like, how much deeper down can we go? How much farther down can we go? You and I have talked on previous shows about, in talking about coming out of Mitzrayim, the idea that the Hebrews were considered to be at the 49th level of impurity, and had Hashem not delivered them at that moment, they would have been undeliverable. You almost have to look at the world today and say, are we experiencing the same kind of thing again? Like I said, most of the teachings that we received from the Arizal were from his main student, Rabbi Chaim Vital, and he explained the verse in Deuteronomy 1:6 when it says, Hashem, our Lord, spoke to us at Horeb, saying, long enough, meaning you've stayed at this mountain long enough, as I mentioned before. And the Hebrew there says, Rav Lachem, you know, long enough, Rav Lachem. But Rav Lachem can also be translated as you have become great. Rav Lachem, you, plural, Rav, or Rov, it comes from the same thing. You've become great, meaning since you have merited to receive the Torah straight from Hashem, you now have become great and powerful. And sometimes I think we miss that. In other words, why are you sitting here? Why do you continue to sit here? Turn and take your journey. We just came out of Matot and Maaseh, the idea of these journeys. You've been at the mountain long enough. It's time to get up. It's time to start moving. It's time to realize that you have the power, the ability to conquer the world, make the world a place where God can be revealed, where we can see this redemption, where we can see Geulah. This takes me to the teachings, two teachings from Rabbi Nachman of Breslov that I mentioned before, who also was 38 when he died, which I think are relevant in a time when we're seeking redemption, and certainly during a time like this, during this intense mourning period. One of them is in Likutei Maharan, Torah 178, and the other one is Likutei Maharan, Torah 4. Rabbi Nachman starts in Likutei Maharan 178, where he says, Da ki tzarich davka vidui devarim. We see that word, devarim, again, the words. In da ki tzarich davka vidui devarim, know that a person must specifically bring confession, practice confession, vidui devarim, bring words of confession. And then it talks, he goes on and says that not only should they have this practice of confession, but it should detail the transgression and each time verbally confess all that he's done. And he goes on and he says that there are many obstacles to this. Sometimes a person forgets the transgression, or else it weighs so heavily on him that he finds it hard to articulate it. He finds it hard to put into words the confession, as well as other numerous obstacles, he says, come up. But then he says that what a person has to do is he has to awaken himself with the joy of a mitzvah. And he gives example, he says, like a mitzvah of a wedding or some kind of other joyous occasion. Because he says joy is a complete structure of 248 limbs and 365 sinews. So that's where we get back to this idea of the 613 mitzvot that we have in the Torah, that he now connects them, each one of them, and he says that our joy is connected to that as well, that it's connected to the 248 limbs, the positive commandments, and the 365 negative commandments that we have as well. He says, therefore, when he rejoices or dances, he must take or make a certain joy, and it should be from his head to his toes. This is because sometimes the joy is only in the feet, and other times it's in the heart or in his mind. So he really connects this idea of joy to each one of the members of a person's limbs. And he says, this is an everlasting joy upon their heads. And he quotes Isaiah 35:10, or he quotes another verse, joy in my heart, from Psalm 4, verse 8. He says, however, the main joy is when he traverses the entire joy. In other words, throughout the entire structure that exists in joy, for this, numerous mitzvot are needed. He says you have to have numerous mitzvot to overcome this. We're going to have to go to a break, William. When we come back, we have the final segment. We're going to look a little bit more at Torah 178, these limbs and so forth, and then try and connect it to Torah 4 and see if we can come up with a solution to our diminished joy and joy, having joy at the same time. So stay with us. We'll be right back here on the Science of Kabbalah and IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
This is Shai Ben-Tekoa, and each week I'll be webcasting to you from Judea, origin of the word Jew, a people besieged and beleaguered in every generation. Nazi Germany is but a memory, but in its place the world invented the Phantom Palestinians as this generation's internationally authorized Jew killers. Tune in for a different slant on life in Israel, Phantom Nation, every Monday.
Hi, I'm Rabbi David Aaron. The soul basics are the most profound, the most essential, and yet often the most neglected in our education. Join me for Soul Talk on Israel's News Talk Radio and discover the secrets to love, spiritual growth, and personal power.
How did a nice Jewish girl from Delaware end up living in Israel?
Shalom, I'm Natalie Sapinski. Join me on my show, Returning Home. Meet different people who have moved to Israel. Hear their personal stories, their highs, their lows, and everything in between. Each week, we talk to experts on immigration and the process of moving to Israel. Listen to Returning Home every Thursday, only on Israel News Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Science of Kabbalah with Rabbi Yitzchak Michelson and William Hall here on Israel News Talk Radio.
Welcome back to the Science of Kabbalah here on Israel News Talk Radio. So the million-dollar question is, how can you be hungry and full at the same time? How can you be hot and cool at the same time? How can you be... How can you have joy and yet diminish joy at the same time? And so we're slowly finding out. So connecting all this stuff to the Torah with the 613 mitzvot, with the limbs and our sinew and things like that. So continue on with that. I think that's going to be the highlight for me.
I think to try and answer your question, not that I can come up with an easy solution or easy explanation for this, but I think that when you're talking about physicality versus spirituality, you have to look at things in sort of a different way. It's sort of the idea, and we're going to speak a little bit more about this when we get into Likut Maharan Torah 4, where Rabbi Nachman talks about this kind of the idea, and I think we've mentioned it on a previous show. I mentioned it briefly on this idea of unifying both names of Hashem, Yud-Ke, Vav-Ke, and Elohim, one being from the right side, Chesed, the other one being from the left side, Gevurah, strength, and this idea of finding unification, and also where he says, and this is a very interesting concept, very difficult concept, I'm not saying easy, but Rabbi Nachman says that when we do this, we can experience the world to come in this world, that we can kind of get a sense of this concept of redemption. And he says, how do we do that? He connects Yud-Ke Vav-Ke and Elohim, those two names, to the concept of Hatov V'Hametiv, who is good and does good, and Baruch Dayan HaEmet, blessed is the true judge. Baruch Dayan HaEmet is something that we say when, typically when somebody passes away. You'll see people post it all the time on Facebook and social media. They'll hear that somebody passes away and they'll write Baruch Dayan HaEmet, blessed is the true judge. But we also have a blessing that we say, Hatov HaMetiv, who is good and does good. Rabbi Nachman says you have to get to a place in your life where you don't make a distinction between those two things. That typically, even though it's something that we usually say when somebody passes away, you can also say Baruch Dayan HaEmet when you're going through a really hard test, when something bad happens in your life, something other than losing a loved one. You can also say Baruch Dayan HaEmet. But he says the real trick is getting to a place in your life where you don't see a distinction between the two, where you don't see a distinction between Chesed, Yudkei Vavkei, and Givuah, which is judgment, where we see the judgments come down. You accept both of them, and you say that everything is ultimately for my benefit. So in a sense, if you're able to accomplish that, that's what he's saying, is when you do that, that's when you can have diminished joy and be joyful all at the same time.
I think it's kind of a good connection, too, because, you know, speaking from my own history and times past, you know, you have this these weeks or sometimes even months of just dry spells, mm-hmm. you know, where you're just not really connected with Hashem. And when you finally come to your senses, you know, and decide to get back in line, whether it be through study of Torah or, you know, fixing things that you screwed up along the way, it does happen at the same time. You've got this remorse from what had happened before, but then this great relief knowing that you're actually coming out of this whole thing in one piece, you know what I mean, and back in peace with Hashem. So
Rabbi Nachman goes on and talks about this in that Torah 178, and he says, because the root of all mitzvot is joy. And he quotes Psalm 19, verse 9, where he says, for the ordinances of Hashem are upright, gladdening the heart. So that when you do a mitzvah, you're supposed to do the mitzvot in joy. It doesn't mean that we always do it. But Rabbi Nachman talks a lot about joy and says that we should always be besimcha, we should always be in joy. And then he says, and every one of the 613 mitzvot has a limb of the joy, each mitzvah in accordance with its aspect. He says, therefore, if one blemishes some mitzvah, whether a positive or a prohibitive commandment, then when he is joyous and goes through that structure of joy that we talk about and comes upon that particular limb which parallels that mitzvah which he transgressed, it's impossible for him to rejoice because he blemished there in that mitzvah whose core is joy. On a simple level, what he's saying is that because each commandment is connected to one of the limbs, whether it's a positive or a negative commandment, he said that it's hard sometimes for us to be joyous because the joy that's connected to that limb is where we transgressed. So there might be a commandment that's, you know, connected to your little finger and you transgress that. And so that mitzvah that's connected to your little finger, you can't have joy. You're not going to have joy related to that because you have not repaired that yet. Now, this is where we get into Torah 4. Because after speaking in Torah 4 about the need to unify the names of Hashem, like I talked about in this idea of Baruch Dayan HaEmet and Hatov HaMitiv, and seeing everything as being for your benefit, he then uses that same term, Vidui Divarim, this idea of bringing confession or bringing words. And he goes into this concept of, we also spoke on a previous show, this idea of raising up Malchut to its source, Malchut being the lowest sphera on the Eitz Chaim and the Tree of Life, which is the level that we live at. He says we have to raise that up to holiness. And he says, bring words, take divarim, words with you, and return to Hashem. And he quotes that from Hosea 14:3. And he says the meaning of that is the idea of spoken confession. And then he goes further. And what he says is that in this, that all of this is related to bringing this unification that I talked about and connecting all of the, you know, bringing this confession. But then he says in section 5 of Torah 4, the same way that he said in 178, connected to the limbs and the sinews and so forth, here he says that a person's iniquities are on his bones. And he quotes Yechezkel, Ezekiel 32:27, where it says, and their iniquities will be etched upon their bones. Now you know, here it took us 3 segments to get to the idea of skeletons in the closet.
right, that's funny.
No, so basically he says that each sin has its own combination of letters, and that when a person commits a particular sin, a negative letter combination is etched upon his bones. And this brings the spoken aspect of the prohibition which he has transgressed into the realm of impurity. In other words, he brings the aspect of malchut, which is connected to the idea of dibor, speech, and he brings it among the nations, giving them power. Remember, we talked about them sitting at the mountain and him saying, why are you sitting here? You have the power. You have the ability to conquer everything. And yet here he's saying in 4 that when you transgress this, what you're doing is you're bringing Malchut down to the level of the nations, rather than recognizing you have so much power to overcome this sin, to overcome all these things. And then he goes on further and he says, for example, if he transgressed the utterance of the prohibition where it says you shall have no other gods before me in Exodus chapter 20, verse 3, then he destroys the utterance's positive letter combination and informs a negative letter combination. And that letter combination is etched upon his bones, like he said. And he quotes Jeremiah chapter 5, 25. It is your iniquities that have turned away these things. And it is written, evil is the death blow of the wicked. Psalm 34, 22. So he says that what happens is by means of spoken confession, the letters disappear from the bones into which they have been etched and are transformed into the words of confession. He says, for speech emanates from one's bones, as it is written in Psalm 35:10, all my bones will say. He tears down the negative structure and that negative combination, and then he builds Malchut de Kedusha. He builds up holy Malchut. And then he goes on and he says, this is what the sages said during the time the Israelites traveled in the desert. We go back to the desert, where it says, Yehuda's bones rolled about in his coffin until Moshe said in Deuteronomy 33:7, we're in Devarim, hear, O Hashem, the voice of Yehuda. And this is also quoted in Talmud in Sotah 7b. It says, Moshe requested that the Holy One, Hashem, remember for Yehuda's sake the confession he had made. And this is just what happened. It said, thus it was specifically his bones rolled about, as is written, and their iniquities will be etched upon their bones, as we quoted from Yechezkel. But by means of the confession, they were rectified, and each one went back into its place. All of this has to do with, it doesn't matter the time. This is why I brought this up about the distinction or the dichotomy. I'm hoping people realize what I'm trying to say here. We have the opportunity in this time, whether it's the 3 weeks or the 9 days, to recognize that we have an incredible amount of power that Hashem gave us. That we have to stop sitting here and feeling sorry for ourselves and looking at what's going on in the world and saying, we have no control. We have all the control. Hashem is trying to say to the world, stop sitting there by the mountain. I've given you the power to conquer the world. I've given you the power, instead of bringing the world down to the level of Malchut in the nations, I'm giving you the ability to bring Malchut back up to its source. And when you bring it up back to its source, not only can you experience Olam Haba in this world, but you could potentially bring the redemption. Guess what?
We're out of time.
We're out of time, as usual. Hopefully that made sense to everybody.
Hey, if not, you can also go back and listen to it again.
Yes, you can. I want to thank everybody for staying with us, and for William, my great co-host, for being with me here every week. Stay with us every week here on The Science of Kabbalah on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com.
Israel News Talk Radio's chat room. Just click the orange button at the top of the IsraelNewsTalkRadio.home page, log in as yourself or an anonymous guest, and join in on the fun. You'll meet other listeners from all over the world who listen to Israel News Talk Radio, and you can make new friends. Israel News Talk Radio's chat room. It's the closest you can get to being in the studio with us.
We love listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Where can you get the inside news on Israel? At Israel News Talk Radio, we're dedicated to sharing Israel's inside story with the world by providing our listeners with news on Israeli politics, current affairs, and Israeli Jewish culture. The Israel News Talk Radio homepage also provides you, the listener, with useful information at your fingertips, with scrolling news headlines, weather, currency exchange, Shabbat candlelighting times, and so much more. Our radio programming is always accessible and on demand. We operate absolutely free of charge for everyone, everywhere. If you love what we do, partner with us now by becoming an Israel News Talk Radio supporter. With your support, you'll be inscribed on our Israel News Talk Radio Wall of Fame. There's nothing like us in the world. Be part of something great. Israel News Talk Radio, straight talk from Israel.
If you love Israel News Talk Radio, then you'll love our Facebook page. We keep you up to date on what's happening in Israel, plus little surprise treasures that we don't share on the radio. Go now to follow us on Facebook. Just look for the Israel News Talk Radio Facebook page, and don't forget to subscribe and follow us by clicking on the like button. We post great stuff there that you'll want to share. Israel News Talk Radio on Facebook and Israel News Radio on Twitter.
News, opinion, and more. You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.